Welcome on back to Barstool Breakfast Second Helping, our weekly best of podcast highlighting the best moments from the week. So sit back and enjoy the second helping.
Welcome on back. It's been a great morning. Talking about the Barstool Awards. Talking about that shit piece HBO did. Try to bash the pirate ship, which still fucking flags high, riding high. Lars, who we got in the building?
I'm very happy to announce that we have a guest in the building. And so I think that we've had a bunch of guests on in the past. We've been lucky enough because we're the premier morning show on Sirius outside of that one other guy. So the most of the people that we get are celebrities as far as being athletes. We do get quite a few comedians because of Francis's penchant for that type of stuff. But we have Lisa Ann in the building now, who I think is the biggest star that we've ever had in the studio. You got to.
I'm not going to fight you against that.
I mean, Julian Edelman was in here the other day. I had zero desire.
I damn sure didn't. Fuck the Pats.
Yeah, like I, honest to God, I think when Kevin Hart was in. I was like, yeah, I'd like to meet Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart's on a fucking tear.
Yeah.
I mean, like Chris Rock, maybe Eddie Murphy has only seen that type of success that Kevin Hart is enjoying now as a comedian and an actor. We've had, countless other people. And I made the point that even Tom Brady, I don't think, has the cachet that this young lady has. So I am proud to say that Lisa Ann's in the studio now. Welcome aboard.
Round of applause.
Have some fun here for the next 42 minutes.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you for being here, right?
This is exciting
you
for
were
me.
Here before.
Yes, I recently. Got to feel the vibe of this building, and I walked out feeling some kind of way. I'm not going to lie.
I remember when you first arrived here, there was a lot of people like, man, Lisa Ann's coming, Lisa Ann's coming.
It's a buzz.
To the fact where I think some people actually showered. We have a shower right here.
Yes.
People actually showered to be in your presence, which was strange to.
It's big for some of these guys.
Some of these guys, they haven't showered in 2 weeks, but because you walked in the building, they felt like they had to come correct.
Well, this is good that I bring out manners and etiquette in men.
Yeah.
This really
is fantastic. I like this.
I think like right away when you come in, I told people that we do a lot of preparation for guests. We're going in raw with you.
Yeah.
And then every time that I say something like that and you happen to be an adult, it just is. There's so many innuendos that I'm going
to
be using today. And I don't mean them, but it's just because
you
I'm nervous. Yeah. So
I mean, I'm a that's what she said kind of person.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So
it
like,
is.
Yeah, you got to do this. You got to do it.
You mentioned it because I wrote a blog on you. And the blog that I wrote was extremely complimentary, almost like almost thirsty. I said, I have a young girl. I have a 9-year-old daughter. So I had seen some of the stuff that you did with KFC and the guys around here. And I said, listen, I want my daughter's path to be a lot different than yours.
Yeah.
I mean, I just do. And I don't even like to think about my daughter on your path because it's my little girl, right? But I want her destination to be the same. I want her to be confident. I want her to be likable. I want her to be successful. I want her to be independent and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And so that's what I wrote. And then you had reached out to me, which is also a little bit thirsty. No, I'm just kidding. And then I'd asked you to come on. But I mean that. Like, I think that for somebody who walked away from adult films like 2013, 2014 or something like that?
Yeah, but I still shoot here and there
a little bit. Yeah.
But, what I've realized this time around, it's funny you're saying this because when I first started working with Sirius, my show's name is Lisa Ann Does Fantasy.
Right.
And that's
it's a great name. Yeah.
And it's not fantasy sports.
It's all fantasy sports.
It's very hot in this studio, by the way.
I had a lot of conversations with men who have daughters about your daughter's age.
Right.
And they said, what do we do to make this not the outcome? Nothing against you, but what do we do here? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, let me just start with the foundation. I was told very young I wasn't going to be able to go to college. I knew there wasn't much money in my situation. My parents had a nasty divorce. So there was all these things that led to almost a sense of desperation of how can I make as much money and be able to take care of myself fast?
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to be in that situation with your little one.
Correct.
Because you're always going to be able to provide. There's always going to be consistency. And there's not going to be a need to go out and struggle and just hustle that hard. You never want your kids' hustle to be that hard.
Mm. But and so and you say hard hustle. So Willie won a Super Bowl with the Steelers.
Yes, he did.
You're from PA.
Yes, I am.
Steeler Eagle.
I'm so sorry. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, and Sixers, I think, right?
My first professional basketball game was a Sixers game.
Oh, gotcha.
But so Willie was a guy who had paid his dues on the offensive line. I was on Wall Street for 25 years, so I really didn't pay my dues. But it was relatively tough at times.
And, tough getting up.
You know, early in the morning and stuff like that. A lot of blood in my stool and whatnot. But, like, you came from a place, and this is what I wrote, you came from a place that creates a lot more suicides than superstars, especially lately.
Yeah.
Like, you see a lot of superstar athletes who are killing themselves. You see a lot of superstar, especially, like, professional wrestlers. Like, the way that those guys are offing themselves is unbelievable.
Steroids, man.
And then, obviously, in your industry, too, but you've managed to kind of overcome that. I know that you're still doing adult films or porn is what I'm going to call it from now on, but you're doing it on your own terms.
Yes, 100%.
You're owning your fucking masters.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing. We have a lot of professional fighters in here like Triple G who had a falling out with his trainer because his trainer wanted more money. But Triple G's the guy who's risking his life every time he steps into a ring.
100% and can't do it forever, whereas the trainer can go and pick up another client and continue to train till he's 70.
Absolutely. You're the one who's going in there and taking the blows, literally and figuratively. Yep. And so for you doing it now.
You're doing great, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I've been practicing, kind of my whole life.
And the fantasy stuff you've been doing now, well, obviously the fantasy stuff, even
since
that.
Since 2013. And I just love it. And, I, you know, from this point forward for the rest of the year, so I travel now and do and shoot and go on events for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then the entire football season. So for 6 months from July till January, I'm completely still.
Really?
All I do is focus on fantasy football, doing a fantasy football podcast, being on my show.
Why
doing
football?
Because it's this, it is the fantasy sport that people gravitate towards the most. And you can be in up to, you know, as many, I'm up to 20 leagues this year, probably. I also do a day that I call Fantasy Football Fridays, where I patch in from home studio with all the stations that I love doing shows for when I was feature dancing. Mm-hmm. And I do like 11 minute drop where I give like their team, who's fantasy relevant, injury updates, and then stardom sit-ups.
Mm.
And that whole day is something I just do because I want to, you know, in radio, you do a lot of things, you don't get paid, but you love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You love every minute of it. So that day starts at 5 a.m. and ends at 10 p.m. But it helps me set my lineups on Saturday.
Right.
So by the time I'm ready to go make my first pass through my 20 leagues and set all my DFS lineups like a freak, I'm ready because I have all this information I gathered on Friday.
I'm listening to you talk about football, and I'm like, I just forgot you did porn.
Yes.
Like, I'm serious. And it's normal. Like, most women that get into fantasy football are people that are in the radio field, right? Or former athletes.
Sure.
Or, you know, that one girl who played collegiate sports and who was just in love with sports growing up because dad made him a Vikings fan.
Yep.
Who's terrible looking.
Who's terrible.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you're coming from your industry. Now you're saying, you know what? Skip that. Let me get into the weeds with football. I know what I'm talking about. Has it been pushback with the sports world because of your past?
So you know, I also do baseball and basketball.
Okay.
Fantasy. I'm in a season-long baseball league
awesome.
Right now. There was pushback the first year, which was a lot for me to process. And I want to go back to one thing we talked about when you mentioned suicide with the girls in the business and athletes. Every bit of celebrity can be difficult. And I think what happens is, like an athlete, when that celebrity is removed, it's very hard to find your identity. Like a girl in the business, they don't really know how to process their celebrity because it can be very forward. People can come up to you and say very harsh things. Mm. And they forget that people only see you doing that one thing. It's kind of like people only see Kobe Bryant playing basketball. Mm. They don't picture him doing laundry. So when I decided to really make this my hobby as a young girl, when I went out on the road alone, very lonely life.
You say hobby.
Sports has always been my hobby.
Gotcha.
I've always loved sports. Basketball is my first love, to be honest with
you.
But watching ESPN and following sports in each city, it kept me feeling not homesick. It kept me grounded. It allowed me to have conversation with men who were just being uber creepy with me.
Right.
And then I'd say, oh, I see you're wearing a Steelers hat. Let's talk about it. What do you think about Antonio Brown? No longer with the Steelers, I know.
Yep.
But, you know, so I think not having a lot of things in your life, not being well-rounded, when that celebrity is removed, it's devastating. So when my first level of celebrity was removed and I decided to just do this full-time, I was very taken back and I didn't handle it well the first year, it broke me a bit. And I had to get over that. That's okay.
You say broken as because you didn't know where to go or just...
No, because I was reading so many awful things on social media. And I was getting just lambasted. It wasn't from within the sports industry at all. It was because the fantasy sports people are amazing. And everyone at Sirius has treated me so well. To them, it's if you show up and you do a good job and you work hard, then you work here, you know? So it wasn't there, but it was just the aftermath of people saying god-awful shit, like, how am I going to take sports advice from a girl who takes dicks in her ass? You know, just awful. And I had to read
me
that by
the same thing.
The thousands, you know? And so it became heavy, but I learned to just, like, have a sense of humor about it and just respond back to the person. I'm sorry no one's let them you stick their dick in their ass. You know, it's not about me. It's about you. But it does take some time. Now, I went through that in my mid-40s. And I think when these young people, athletes, they're only in their late 20s sometimes when their career is taken from them.
Right.
You know, the girls in the business, they might be 21 years old when they realize, ooh, maybe I don't want to be in this life anymore.
Is that the age for retirement?
I just think we're seeing the most suicides 18 to 24 is what I'm studying right now.
I didn't mean to cue on that. I know that's a huge thing.
It's a huge thing. And so I see it with all forms of celebrities, all these influencers, all kinds of people, reality TV stars as well.
Really?
But here you are in life and you've got this one great thing going for you and you have to have other hobbies and other interests. And sports saved me from that always being my hobby and my favorite interests.
But so Willie was in the NFL for 10 years. I think the average... tenure in the NFL,
three to four years.
Yep. So how long would you say that you were actively in porn?
I would say 25 years.
And that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And without becoming this gonzo freak porn, what you've done to your body since 2015, right? You look fantastic
Thank
now.
You.
And I don't know if it's like a vegan thing. I hope
so
not.
It is vegan. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Jesus
I know in New
Christ.
York you don't say that to people.
We were just bagging on vegans before you got here.
But you know what?
Terrible
for me, it
person.
Was an experiment. I did it. I wanted to do it only for 6 months.
Okay.
And I did it for 6 months. And when I went to get my physical, my doctor said, well, it's strange, but you're no longer reading anemic. And I've always been anemic my whole life. And I said, well, I'm eating vegan now. So I'm eating a lot more beans and protein-rich foods and no filler foods. And she's like, well, if I were you, I'd stick with it. It's really working for you. And all of my other levels
probably
are just
amazing.
I do eat eggs. That's the one thing
I love
do
eggs.
Eat. So I eat a good dozen, 18 eggs a week.
I own two chickens.
Okay, so that's the next stuff.
Are you in the best
list.
Shape you've ever been?
I am.
You're in the best shape. And when you first started porn and you were more flat-chested and stuff like that before you put in the initial implants and stuff, this is me being historical.
Yeah.
So you're in better shape than you were when you first entered into the business.
100%.
It's fucking crazy.
But
good
when I
you.
Moved to California, this is how different the business was. I got a contract right away, and they got me a personal trainer and a nutritionalist for the first 6 months to a year. And I was coming from PA, an Italian family. We ate the same food every night of the week, you know? And so I just, I never had an avocado. I'd never had sushi. So I learned about food, and that created this whole study of like how I can evolve. I do cryotherapy at least 5 days a week. I do heat therapy. Like my whole hobby other than sports is just taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Right. But I love it.
That's good.
And it's
self-care.
Paid off.
It's
and it's given
off.
You, a, and it, like I say this oftentimes with other things, it's given you a fresh set of downs in the adult film type stuff. Because now, like you said, owning your own masters and whatnot. And I know you spoke to KFC about it. There's not a lot of overlap with our shows because nobody gets up in the morning that listens to Barstool except for us.
We're the janitors of Barstool.
Yeah, but they can listen on demand with the SiriusXM app.
You
I mean, I listen
right
to all
can.
Your shows on demand
because
then I have everything in my favorites and it's just so easy.
Do you have a star on the Walk of Fame?
I don't.
There's 26, I think there's almost 3,000 people with stars on the Walk of Fame, and some of them are absolutely ludicrous. Lisa Ann doesn't have a star on the Walk of Fame.
Well, we're going to change that.
This would be pretty cool, even though nobody likes to go to Hollywood, but I would do the photos with it that day.
I think it would be fantastic.
And then I could take photos with the look-alike Napoleon Dynamite and all those free. I did it one day with my friends. I dressed up as Palin, and I just went down there and took photos with all of the freaks.
Well, that's what I want to get into when we come for break. I want to hear the story about Sarah Palin.
Okay.
You going to tell us?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Lisa Ann in the house. Me and Large Barstool Breakfast. Come on back.
Check it out, you got me mesmerized. With your black hair and your fat thighs. Street poetry is my everyday.
But yo, I gotta stop when you drop my weight. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian.
Welcome on back to Barstool Breakfast. Me and Large up and running with the sensational, the stunning Lisa Ann. How you doing so far?
Great.
I'm glad you're up early. You up? What time?
I was up at 5.
Okay.
Because I went to bed at 7:30. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
Because I had a travel day yesterday. We were supposed to land in New York at 9 a.m.
Okay.
But mind you, you guys had a wicked storm here yesterday. So we circled around till we almost ran out of gas. Then they flew us to Philly to refuel. Considered us having to get off and get either a train or a shuttle here. Found a gate open, but I didn't get in the city till like 4:30 after leaving my house last night at midnight, you know, Monday night after doing my show. So yeah, I got in my room. I was like, you know what? Just unpack and don't get into nothing. I listened to a couple of fantasy football podcasts and decided to knock out early.
Before we broke, we talked about your alter ego. In 2008, Sarah Palin was relevant. You became extremely relevant because you did a comedy parody of
Nail and Palin. Yeah. Who's Nail and Palin? It was epic.
How did that happen?
It was pretty funny. You know, I was on set shooting and Drew from Hustler reached out to me and he's like, hey, we want to do this parody. We have the name already. It's Who's Nailing Palin. It's about Sarah Palin. And it just so happened to be the night of the VP debate. And I was like, hey, I'm recording the VP debate. So let me go home and watch her. I'll hit you up after the shoot and see. And I will say this. I was standing in front of my television when she walked on. And if you remember that night, she had this black, shiny suit on.
Yeah.
And she had like two or three pair of fake lashes on. I'm like up at my TV staring at this woman. And I had never parodied anybody. And I didn't really want to make fun of somebody. Then I listened to her. And there she was. And if it wasn't for Hustler, I wouldn't have done it. I have this admiration for Larry Flint and the fact that he made what I do possible, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what? Let's do this. And by the next day, someone at Hustler leaked the story. So now other people were trying to do it faster. So now there was like, let's step on it. We got to shoot this right away. And I ordered all my own suits and altered them myself because I sew. I have a sewing machine. And
oh, sweet.
I know Larry Flint likes really short skirts. That's really his thing. So I knew I would have to pull
Mine
that
too.
Off.
Yeah, yeah, I like yeah, it too.
Right?
Yeah,
good
yeah,
legs. He
fan.
Loves
Thanks.
Legs.
Yep.
And it was just what a whirlwind that was. I mean, I did so much mainstream press. It really taught me how to be a better interviewer, a better interview, because mm-hmm. I had to learn about, you know, putting the question in with the answer and all these little things that people ask you to do. And it was fantastic. I mean, I wouldn't do it now.
Right.
I think politics now are a little bit too heated, but then it was fun and it was a light and everyone seemed to be okay with us kind of joking around at her things.
We were just talking about how politics have kind of ruined a lot of outlets that we used to enjoy. Saturday Night Live being one of them. Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, I did a quasi hit piece. We call it a slap piece on Barstool last night that really wasn't that impactful, but just something to talk about. I think after the Palin thing, you also had that sweet spot because that MILF porn thing
100%.
Became huge. And it, like, everyone, I'm older
Jesky
than you.
Jesky is a resident MILF hunter. I
oh,
don't know if you know that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Fantastic. That was a great well. Series back in the day. Do you remember MILF Hunter?
I do remember
it's a great
hunter.
Series.
But yeah. I'm older than you.
Big fan of yours, by the way.
Yes.
He told me when he met me outside. He said, by the way, big fan. Yeah. I love when people just say it just like that. Hi, Lisa, and big fan.
Right. And they shake you a hand with a hand that you know.
Right.
So
I'm meeting the big fan hand. You don't
yes,
understand. I get that every time. I get that.
They've destroyed themselves to you with the same hand.
Big fan hand.
So yeah, by the transitive property.
Yeah,
you're there.
Uh-huh.
But so like MILFs became huge and it's still like now it's turned into stepmomish stuff.
And see,
like,
that's the weird thing. I just had this conversation the other day. I did an ASMR reading last week here.
What's that?
For Brazzers. It's a real erotic style.
Oh, yeah.
Of
that's what Tommy Smokes we did. Sorry.
Specific yes. microphones.
This isn't erotic.
And it just so happens that the scene that they picked for me, which they didn't let me approve it in advance.
Manage
and
your.
So when I saw it, I said to them, well, this is why I'm going to tell you right now. This is why you let me pick a scene in advance. So I go up on stage and I explained everyone. At 47 in the industry, if you work for other people, you're subjected to being a woman that hooks up with the pool guy, but you don't own the pool because there's a creepy husband that you don't do a scene with, but has to be relevant. Yep. And his stepdaughter also lives at the house, even though she's not relevant. And I said, in closing, I can afford my own pool and I can have sex with my own pool boys.
Very nice. I would.
So it creeps me out. I don't like it.
So what does having sex with Lisa Ann in the pool sound like?
Oh, well, I don't know.
That's the ASMR
we'll
type
have to
thing.
Try
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll exactly.
Try. Maybe okay. Maybe we can work this out and shoot this, and then you can have the sound for them.
Do, like, okay. pizza guys know where you live and, like, clamor to deliver
so
to you
I
just
don't,
in case
I can't order any delivery.
Okay.
And even when it comes to Uber, I walk to a neighbor's house, and I perch up in their driveway, and I use their house as my house, and they're cool with it. I asked them years ago, and it's weird. I have to drag my bags down like half a block. I cannot order Postmates. I cannot do anything because the driver shows up. They know who I am, and the next thing you know, there's people that know where I live, and people call
oh,
me,
wow,
and they
terrible.
Have access to you. So it's okay because I've managed to realize, like, all celebrities deal with this thing. Like, what? It's okay. I can go to the farmer's market and make all my own food when I'm home.
But if I was a 23-year-old kid, too, from their perspective, and this is why it's good for you that you're not home for it. If I was a 23-year-old kid and I get to deliver a vegan pizza to Lisa Ann's house, and you answer the door and you're in sweatpants with, like, a scrunchie and, like, your face not done up, I'd be so disappointed. Like, I would just assume you'd answer
in a nightie. Heels.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you're,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
confused. And obviously you don't have any money, so we have to work out a barter
system. Of course
system.
We
like,
do.
I know, like, that's the road
we
go
down.
So if it was anything other than that, what the fuck am I living for being a pizza guy? You
I
know
understand.
What I mean?
We do need to live up to that status quo.
Do you feel that way? Can you leave the house without – you look fantastic, and it's 8:39 in the morning. Can you leave the house looking like – we do sometimes?
I can, but I'll hide. You know, I'll just wear a hat. You
I was
know?
On that. You put the trucker hat,
yeah, yeah,
big
you
shirt,
wear a hat,
cover
and,
up.
And
yeah.
you look like kind of the Unabomber, you know, have something, a real hideous jacket that holds all my phones. But what I will say is, in New York, I feel a lot more comfortable walking around with absolutely no makeup. Mm-hmm. I go to the gym here with no makeup. I just feel like New Yorkers are more
it's
real.
Different.
It's gritty.
Yeah.
You know, women are beautiful in their own way here. If a woman has curly hair, she's wearing her beautiful curly hair. Mm-hmm. You see different noses. You see different eyebrows. Where in LA, I feel like everyone, you stand at a Starbucks and you just survey the crowd, everyone kind of looks the same.
I want
right.
to go ahead.
But every other porn star who lets themselves become naturally beautiful gets killed for it. I love a natural beauty. I love a girl who goes around with nothing. And I'd love for you to walk around with nothing. Not nothing.
There's girls that pull it off. Like, I'll use Dani Daniels as an example.
Please
She's
do.
Naturally gorgeous.
Get on that.
She never needed much makeup, and okay. she always stuck to that. She has great eyebrows, great hair. Mm-hmm. It's her look. But you're right. If you come from the glamour world and you tone it
you
down.
You can't go back.
No.
Right.
And that's okay, because it's your disguise.
I want to, we're talking about creeps and all this stuff. And I just, when I knew you was coming on, Large was like, man, I'm, you know, he's going to have this whole thing. And I was like, listen, I want to debunk myths, because I grew up watching porn, right?
Okay, let's debunk.
Just debunk a couple myths about the porn world that okay. people don't know.
Okay.
By
the way, can we swear?
Like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
fuck,
fantastic.
Take off.
Yeah,
okay.
Can.
What are some of the myths about porn?
Okay, first
yeah,
of all,
top 10.
In today's porn, most guys, male performers, are using PEDs.
What's that? Oh, Viagra. I thought it was some new shit. I was like, jet ski, get on it.
He's in the NFL for 10 years.
Right.
Pretending
so
he didn't know PEDs.
I call it PEDs because they're performance enhancing drugs.
I thought it was
drugs.
Some new shit. I didn't even correlate. I know.
So I'm being clever and you didn't get it over
sorry.
Your head there. Yeah. But yeah, like Viagra.
I'd rather travel to Mexico.
Some guys inject. They inject their penis before the shoot. Makes it extremely
hard. What do they inject it with?
It's a weird,
silicone?
It's something they should not be doing. Just put it that
so
way.
So it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Wow.
And I would say probably 50% of the performers in the U.S. do it, and probably about 80 to 90% in Europe. And you'll know it because when you watch a scene, the guy walks in, he's rock hard already. Look for two things. If he's white boy, you'll see that he gets beat red. That's from pills, Viagra, any kind. And if he just walks in hard and after he pops, he's still hard. That's from shooting up. So those are two things guys need to know. Let's go to the second debunk.
Okay.
We use a fisheye lens. Makes a girl's butt look bigger.
Angles.
Makes girls' boobs look bigger. Yep. But it also makes the guy's penis look bigger.
Thank God.
God damn it.
So everyone out there today, I want you to feel good about your penis. The size of your penis.
Because 6 inches
about
is
it.
The norm, right?
It is the norm. But
right.
when it's shot.
Are you sure,
and
though?
It's, and also,
I read some other stuff where there were four
right.
was being thrown around.
And
right.
another
Let's
thing
not just
too
get
is,
married to that six.
Guys always expect me to be taller. Okay,
yes.
But a lot of the guys in the business are small.
Why?
And they're also very thin. That makes their dick look bigger.
Oh.
If you get a guy like Jordy Porn, he's the young boy, the Spaniard that Brazzers has under contract. He's a dick on a stick. He's only like 5 feet tall. He's skinny. So of course his dick is going to look huge.
Right.
He's a little dude.
I know.
And I thought it was going to be so much bigger when I saw it, because even me looking up photos of him, I'm like, man, that fisheye lens. So those are two.
Okay.
Let's see. What other things do you think need to be debunked?
I think do they have to warm up for scenes? So let's just say if Large is the Jaws of Cox, right? He has a big 14-foot monster. Do you have to prep yourself for scenes like that?
Only if it's anal.
Only okay. anal.
Yeah, anal's what you'd really prep for.
But why not?
Well, because you know it depends. Every girl is different. Luckily, I call her my business partner.
Gotcha.
Luckily, my business partner is very kind and forgiving.
Right. I call mine's uncle.
And she doesn't have that issue. But some girls will tell me anal's easier for them. Like I remember Asa told me anal's easier for her than vaginal sex. Like she gets sore from vaginal. Everybody's different. So no, we don't warm up for that. For me, warming up is simple. If I like the guy, all he has to do is kiss me.
Really?
Yeah.
So there is an attraction there.
I have to be attracted to the guy I'm working with, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that makes me feel good. Because sometimes it's like...
I want to choose. I want us to like each other.
Because then it makes you feel like you're watching dogs. I seen a dog hump a fucking pillow, and he's having a day.
Right.
And for a long time, you're like, man,
good point.
That's how porn's... But you're saying it's not. Like, no, if the guy's hot...
Some girls
like-
don't care. Some guys don't care. I've hired girls and said, do you know who you're working with today? And they said, no, I don't care. You know, so it's different for some girls. For me, coming from all the way back in the 90s when we were introduced to our male performers, I want to talk to them. I want to know them. I want to know, does he like a thong or a fullback better? Does he like perfume or not like perfume? Mm. I like to know these little things about, because it's like going on a really evolved date, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I'm getting in the shower in the morning, I'm shaving for the extra 30 minutes. I'm taking a good time. Like, I'm double conditioning my hair. I want to, you know, I build up to it because it is a sexual moment for me.
Oh, awesome.
It's very warm in the studio. Is anybody else
getting awesome? Getting hot in here.
Exactly.
But you know how she said.
Take off all your clothes.
Yeah, yeah. I love how she said, you know, white guys, they turn beet red.
Do we
got
to get a break it off?
Lars looks like a bottle of Tabasco right now.
Yeah, but can I tell you something?
I'm on nothing. This is all natural, honest to God.
Can I tell you, the brothers don't take pills.
No, we don't
really
have
to. And they don't shoot up.
No, why?
They're very afraid of that stuff. They tell me it's
fuck
white people
you,
shit. They do. They say it's
Willie.
White people shit.
It.
They're more erotic.
But that's how athletes say.
You just made
but that's
my
how
life
athletes,
so much more difficult.
I'm so sorry.
But this is how athletes talk about white guys who shot up in sports. We're like, we don't need that shit. We don't do that. If we can't make it, we're just not good enough.
Right.
We'll go to gang banging. I mean, that's what I heard.
Right.
So it's different. Yeah.
Dark liquor and weed is all the brothers
no
need.
No question. That's all I need.
A scene. That's it.
What I need is weed and tequila.
Is there a rhyme for Irish guys? Right? Yeah. Beer and a burger.
Another one for you. You talked about you getting to know the guy. Have you ever been in a scene where a guy just couldn't get it up because he was starstruck by you?
I'm pretty good about not working with male talent that is new, because they do get that way.
Yes.
And it has happened. And when
I mean,
it,
Jessica's
it,
shaking over
and
here.
And when it does happen, it won't happen in our MILF Hunter scene in the pool, I promise
gotcha.
You that. Wow. When it does happen, I don't know, I go to this Wile E. Coyote Acme Roadrunner vision of like me trying to push rope up a hill. And it's just, it's a visual that I can't get out of my head. And usually the directors have worked with me forever know that I'm thinking that.
Right.
And when the guy's not looking, I'm like, you know, rope up a hill. And the thing about it is, everyone's paycheck relies on that moment.
Yeah.
So as a woman, like I know some girls will just cross their arms and be like, hey, just let me know when he's ready. As a woman, I look at the room and I think this producer is going to have to pay overtime for this location if we don't get this done. Mm-hmm. This guy's not going to get paid at all.
Yeah.
I think about, and everyone knows when they hire me, I'm going to make it happen. Mm. So I will then say to everybody, let's just clear the room and let me have some time alone with the guy. Because I know I can switch it. I mean, this is what I do. I know I could calm him down. We could just sit outside and chill for a minute. Then I could bring him back in and we can get into it. And then we can signal, like, when are you losing edge? What do you want me to do? What do you like? What do you not like? How can I help you? And so I do that because I want to be sure everybody gets paid.
Wow.
You're the fucking, yeah. So are you the greatest porn star that ever lived?
I don't know.
Who's the best porn star that has ever lived, ever graced the screen?
That's so, you know, I love Nina Hartley.
Wow, old school. Yeah,
you know,
so Nina, she's
just
the blonde.
Such a kind, amazing woman.
Boogie Nights, people know for people who don't watch her old porn, yeah.
And she's just always been the same, and we still get together on occasion and meet for, like, she loves burgers, we'll meet for, like, a burger. And she's just a lovely human.
She seems selfish, though. Like, that's, no, I'm just kidding. But she, like, I think, like, from start to finish, for your process, the way that you seem to be in bed with the guys and their problems and stuff, are there a lot of people like that? Like,
no.
Growing up, and again, I'm 48. I'll be 48 this year.
Ooh, we're only a year apart.
Yeah, so I knew three porn stars growing up. If somebody was to put a gun to my head, Nina was probably one of them. I Jenna Jameson, obviously, Nina Hartley, you know, maybe a couple of other porn stars. Every kid nowadays knows 20. Jetski, I can have you rattle off 25, 30
easy.
Porn stars easily.
Easy, because it's at the palm of their hand. We had to work a lot harder to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were so jarred about maybe putting a VHS tape in that was your parents or somebody's brother brought it over that you didn't focus on the people's names. It also didn't look the same.
I watched so much scrambled porn
yeah, we
that
did.
I actually,
oh my gosh.
Like I almost had like a matrixy type ability to see through scrambles. Like I could see angle. Listen, it got to the point I could beat off to a sunset if I needed to. But the way that we had to earn it with Sears catalogs and stuff like that, like back in the day,
yeah.
You guys are so fucking spoiled. That's why I hate your whole generation. But like I don't see girls now being as giving as you.
Right.
Is that gone? Is it happened like it's not like the old school days? I walk 5 miles to school, get off my front lawn, old guy type thing. Do you not respect the newer porn star as much as the older one?
It's different now. I'll equate it to sports. You know, you have a percentage of athletes that are really in it because they love it and they've been born to raise to loved it. And then you have your paycheck performers and you have your people that are like,
as long as I get good at it.
I'm just good at it. As long as I get propped up and I get some social mm-hmm. media followers, I can hustle some money. I'm good at mm-hmm. it. So you have a lot of that. And I think now the social media world has changed it so much mm. because no one knew what we were doing in the 90s. As a matter of fact, we could live a double life. So you were really only in porn if you wanted to be. The money was different. There wasn't as much work. You did one movie a month. Now these girls can shoot 20, 25 movies a month. So the volume of work is so much more now. I was brought in before Viagra.
Yeah.
So you were taught by your team, you know, the producer that sat down with you that said, hey, if by chance you see your guy is losing edge, we'll clear the room. Tell us what you need. Take him into
fluffers?
A private. It's not legal.
It's okay.
You can't fluff?
We can't have fluffers because of the STD, because of the testing and the government laws. So we don't want to have additional people having body-to-body contact on sex.
So is that a myth?
Performers. It was something in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Wow.
But then after the big AIDS crisis in the late 80s, then that kind of was like, let's eliminate the body-to-body contact with additional people.
Sure.
And you were, after the AIDS crisis, like you were one of the ones that was, you were one of the people that went for double testing, right?
I did. And you know what? I've been fighting for better testing my entire time in the business. I've upped the testing years ago on hepatitis, which was something we weren't testing for.
Right.
I've upped the testing on syphilis and now the double testing for the HIV, because now if your viral load is low from taking some medications, you could have snuck through our testing process. And I think it is a right for everyone to know if they're working with somebody that was diagnosed with HIV.
Great.
And you were also one of the first people to do interracial.
Yes.
Right? I mean, and that's one of the things that I don't appreciate, because I don't need to see any more of Willie when I'm at home. So
you don't
want to
see Lexington Steel?
Yeah.
Willie does the cowgirls. Yeah, you don't want to see that.
But no,
that'd
be
a great series.
Oh, man.
You were at the forefront of that, right?
I was.
Yeah.
It was something that shocked me, getting into such an open-minded to what I thought business, you know, and then being told, oh, well, if you're a contract girl, you can't do interracial. And if you want to go feature dancing and you want to do all this, you can't do interracial. I'm like, well, this is strange. I thought I was jumping into a pool of completely open-minded people, you know,
party.
And so I fought it, and I ended up having to do an amateur series to do my first interracial, and it was this scene where I had to act like it was like my first time, and I was kind of scared. It was called Pussy Man Audition, so it was in the mid-90s.
Was
I worked
I
with Shawn
no,
Michaels.
Yeah.
He's in the next series.
Gotcha.
But so, and that started something that I've really worked on with girls, where their agents tell them, don't do it, it'll hurt your, you know, hurt your branding, and I say, well, it kind of hasn't hurt me, so I would say use me as the pace car, and I'm not forcing it on anyone. I'm not forcing any style of scene. But don't let somebody tell you what you can and cannot do.
I got to ask you one question, another question. What was the worst time on set where you was like, man, I'm ready to quit?
Oh, I worked for a man named Axel Braun. He's a very popular director. Mm-hmm. He's a popular director because he cuts corners and he does
cut
things cheaper financially
cheap
than other people.
Okay.
So the very first Hustler movie, Who's Nailin' Palin, the one that really hit it, was shot by this old school director named Jerry T. And I love Jerry T. Jerry T is the guy that him and his wife call you and ask you what you want for food on set, this and that. Whereas Axel Braun is the guy that there's no food on set. You either bring your own or you don't eat. And Axel pulled the Hustler series away from Jerry T and started shooting it. So during that time, he was shooting another something for Hustler, and he had me on. I was shooting an anal scene. So you don't eat for 24 hours the day before.
Right, you want your kickback.
Right, you don't eat, right. And you do all your cleaning up and everything, and so it's 8 a.m., I'm on set, and you want to be shooting by like 12, 1 o'clock, because otherwise you start to get really low blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It was midnight, and he still hadn't shot my scene, and he was like pouring sugar packets into a cup of water for me and stirring it and saying, drink this. And to me, when it's midnight on set, you're paying me for the next day, because my phone has switched over. It
there
is a
go.
New day. You had me in the schedule for this day. And
preach.
So I was so low blood sugar that we ended up getting into a fist fight.
Shut
now,
up.
I disliked him so much that I had security on set with me. I had someone there watching out to make sure, which, of course, the security was out smoking a cigarette when this happened.
Oh.
But yeah, he threw fists at me. He had no problem problem at all throwing fists at me. I was so low blood sugar. Had I had food, I know I would have clearly kicked his ass.
There you go.
Because the amount of anger that I had inside me for him, just like, we never shot the scene. It was a totally wasted day for me, and he's just an asshole. And that was when I was like, wow. And there was a whole room of people, of performers there, and no one stepped in.
That's bullshit.
And that was when I realized, I think I gotta go.
Wow.
Because no one here has my back. And like, this could have been bad. Like, this guy could have socked me in the face. Like, luckily we were just strangling each other and punching each other as much as we could.
Luckily.
But no one stopped it. And that's when I realized, like, wow, this is a very, like, I'm all to myself business and I don't care about you.
That's horrible.
It was.
That's but you're revered.
What's
now.
His name again?
Axel Braun.
Fuck Axel Braun.
Axel Braun just made the list. I rebuke Axel Braun for everything that he's ever done or anything he'll ever do.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
But now you're kind of, that's perfect. Now you're so revered, though. You got to, I mean, you have a certain aura about
what's
you.
Interesting is I'm just very disliked in the business. Anybody that's willing to work harder than other people, anyone that's succeeded in the outside world, they no longer really welcome you back in. So it's like this weird gang that I was like released from, and now that I'm back in, I'm okay in my very small environment. I'm very selective of who I hire, who I'm around. But when it comes to like other things, people just act like I don't exist. Like, don't ask me to do things in the industry, interviews. I don't want to do a lot of stuff either, so I'm kind of happy that they're not. But like, my PR girl will have to fight to get press releases put up on sites. You know, like, just stupid things. And I just realized, like, wow, this is a really hateful, and it's lack of education. Mm. Because when people aren't educated, then they don't grow. And when they're making enough money to pay their bills and to do what they want, they don't feel they need to mentally grow anymore. They stop reading. They stop evolving. And if you stop reading and evolving at 18, and you see a woman that's more successful than you, your only cause of action, your only response is going to be to dislike her and to say nasty things about her.
Mm. Player hating. And we're crawling up on the end here, so I need to know what you're doing in town. I need you to know to plug this FSGA thing.
Yes, I'm in town this week for FSGA. I will be drafting my own team on Thursday, representing SiriusXM Fantasy. I'm mortified because these are men in this league that have been fighting to be in this league for years. They do football all season, all year long, where I've been doing baseball and basketball, and I just know I have to bring it. I will be memorizing 300 players and what I feel about them, their coaching systems, what's changed, who's moved, who's in a new home, and it's all I've been doing, and I just can't wait to spit out the info, because you know when you're studying so hard,
you know
you're up against it, it's going to come out, but like, and I'm the only chick in the league, so that makes me want to win even more. Only girl in this league.
Wow.
There's another team that's owned by a girl and a guy, but like, I'm the only solo owning team. I have a couple friends that are like, hey, text me if you need anything. I'm like, you know what? I got this. I'm ready. If my bosses believe that I can do this, then why don't I believe I could do this myself?
I think if there's any woman that can handle multiple guys, it's probably going to be.
Ooh, that was so good.
Yeah, he's quick with it. He's pretty good.
That was great. I loved it.
I got to say this. I didn't know a lot about your work. I didn't even know your name. Jetski.
Is that real?
I'm being honest. I'm being honest. I think you're absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
You can tell you have strength. You're strong.
Thank you.
You're here for a reason, and I appreciate you being on.
Come back any goddamn time you want.
I sure will.
There you go. Lisa Ann, ladies and gentlemen. Large.
That's a great fucking day.